listening to the inaugural podcast of Stuttering101.com. I am Peter Reitzis, here with regular Stuttering 101 co-host Dr. Greg Snyder and very esteemed guest Dr. Philip Schneider. Dr. Schneider, what, if any, is the relationship between stuttering and breathing?
Interesting question. I think we have to start at the beginning that speaking and making a voice and forming words is really, it is breathing. And speaking is, in essence, the ballet of breathing. When we walk around or sit or sleep and we're not speaking, we're moving air in and out, and our brainstem just wants to make sure we get enough oxygen per minute and get rid of the carbon dioxide that we need to get rid of. So it's just the amount of air you suck and blow out per minute that is what you need to regulate to stay alive. When we begin to speak, what we're really doing is changing the pattern of the flow of air coming out of us in microseconds through the movements of the various muscles of the airway and the mouth and the tongue and so forth. We change the way in which air is flowing out of us. And so speech is a finely regulated way to breathe, and the movement of the air creates the sound. So that's a general statement about speech and breathing. And people don't need to learn to consciously breathe. We all, unless you have a profound neuromuscular problem, breathing comes naturally, and it's regulated without any conscious thought. It's regulated by chemical receptors that check out the oxygen level in the brain and the carbon dioxide in the blood and the carbon dioxide levels. So let's go into the issue of stuttering and breathing. Normally, when a person like I'm talking now, I open my mouth and I start speaking, I don't know how long that utterance is going to go. I don't consciously know how much air I need. But miraculously, my brain actually fills my gas tank with just enough air to finish my thought. And somehow, I don't run out of air in awkward places. That is really amazing. And I don't think anybody's really figured out exactly how we do that. When there is a sudden involuntary interruption in my process, so I will feign that right now. If I'm going on, I start to and for some reason, my movements kind of freeze while the wind is coming out of me on that S sound. It appears to me that I am not necessarily prepared to lose all that gas. It's sort of like going off the road in the wrong direction and realizing it's taking me more gas in my tank to get to my destination. That's unplanned for. So in essence, the stutter perturbs this beautiful plan of where my breathing is automatically supplied for the speech just as much as I need, not more, not less. When I get stuck in a frozen posture with air pouring out of me, then I'm going to wind up wasting a lot of air, and I may need to stop and retank. So the stutter can perturb my breathing, that is, the breathing through my speech. Similarly, if my airway locks completely and my air is not moving, so if I have a block where there's silence and I'm all bottled up, so if I want to say people, well, during that point at which no air is moving in or out of my body, my ventilatory homeostasis, my oxygen, carbon dioxide needs, are going to start to go a little out of whack. So that involuntary frozen posture, which stopped my ability to move air in and out, perturbs my breathing. So I don't know any people who stutter who have respiratory problems when they're not speaking, unless they happen to have allergies or asthma. But aside from asthma and allergy, I don't see that breathing patterns cause stuttering. Stuttering perturbs breathing. And then the issue of intervention. If one believes that it's a breathing problem, it isn't really logical, but some folks think it might be, that we'll teach people how to breathe, and then they'll simply regulate. So going down this road is an interesting place to go, to try to have a thought in your mind and to regulate a process that's normally regulated without any conscious awareness. So I think that in some situations that can lead to increased problems for people. A positive side of breathing exercises when you're not speaking is breathing exercises are used in many relaxation modalities and yogas and so forth and stretching. And that's delightful, and certainly for some people, if they can lower their state of arousal or become more relaxed through spending a few moments in a relaxation exercise, which includes slow and easy breathing, then some folks may get some benefit from that. But my own experience is it would be tremendously difficult to start to think about, you know, what am I doing to bring air in and to bring it out, and to do that while really communicating and with people spontaneously.
What do you say to an adult who stutters, to a client who comes to you for speech therapy, and they inform you that breathing is a major part of their stuttering problem, and that's what they want to focus on? How do you handle that?
So an adult comes in, and this is a generic response, because we always, as therapists, begin where people are. An adult has typically been dealing with stuttering for years before they've come to sit down and talk to us. They have all kinds of beliefs and feelings and ideas and strategies for coping with this kind of strange condition. And so we need to hear. So it's very important that we spend time listening to their beliefs and what they feel helps and doesn't help them, and that we try to spend some time hooking into their system rather than telling them our system. If a person comes with a strong belief about what's best for them, I typically ask them to kind of teach me about it and show me as much as they can. You know, and I'll say to them, are you doing it now, and how does it feel? And if you were to teach me about this method that you know about, could you show it to become my teacher? And in the course of that, they may get more in touch with their own beliefs, and they may begin to explore whether it's sort of a mantra they picked up along the way, or whether there's something that's really helpful for them. But there's a big difference between what a person is saying and what they really mean. And so there's nothing like, could you show me, and could you educate me? Can you teach me the method? And that's how I would approach it.
Well, now, yeah, Greg, what about this then? Every so often I'll get a parent that seems really upset when they see that their child has a secondary stuttering behavior that manifests itself as abnormal breathing, and it seems to upset the parent more than it does the child. What would be your response to that situation?
Well, you raised an interesting topic. We have a language in our trade with a term called secondary behaviors, and as far as I can tell, it refers to the struggling that people get involved with to try to either prevent or escape from these stuttering interruptions. I find that if you can help people develop ways where they don't, where they can speak in a way where they don't have as many interruptions, and they have a little more time to consider how they want to respond to them, that the struggle behavior disappears, no matter how bizarre it may appear, whether it's banging hands, whether it's huffing and puffing. I've had numerous consults over the years where people have come in and I've been told these people have some kind of respiratory dysfunction. Very often, as you do help them as they work on speaking in gentler ways and responding to interruptions in a less reflexive, rapid way, they very often find they don't need to do all the huffing and puffing. So secondary symptoms, whatever they are, struggling with the face muscles, grunting, moving one's hands around, huffing and puffing, tend to melt away as people find more comfortable ways to speak. So in my work, I don't address the struggle behavior directly, just address ways to speak with less struggle.
Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. Well, Phil, thank you for breaking in Stuttering 101. For our listeners who'd like to contact Dr. Schneider, he can be reached at www.schneiderspeech.com, SCHNEIDERspeech.com. Or Stuttering 101 is at 206-888-4619. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Eric. Oh, it's not Eric.
Greg. That's
stand-in.
Great.
No,
that's fantastic. What are you talking about?
Yeah.